If you have your Bibles with you, today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 17, starting in verse 17 and going through 19. Book of John, chapter 17, 17 through 19. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth.
The invitation song will be 382. 382. Kneel at the cross.
What a blessing it is to be among the brethren, those who may be visiting with us. We want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guest. We're thankful for you being here. I do want to say from the onset that I know the challenges at times that it takes to get to worship, especially young families as we get older. It becomes challenging. I believe that I am right by speaking in behalf of the leadership here that we're glad that you made the effort and that you're here. And we want to continue to encourage you to keep fighting the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, because that's really what life is all about. This morning, we're going to start a series of lessons that I believe will help us in our thinking. And it doesn't matter how long that we have been in the Lord, I believe that it will help us. And the reason why is because it is one of the most important doctrines in the Bible. It's the doctrine of sanctification. When we consider the great text that was read in our hearing, Jesus was praying to his Father. And he said, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." He goes on to say in verse number 18, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them," talking about his apostles, "into the world. And for their sake," talking about the apostles, "I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." When we consider sanctification, along with holiness, is vital to the spiritual well-being of all of us. When we consider sanctification, being set apart, being made holy, I want us to consider some of the examples just swiftly before we get into our lesson. You remember on one occasion when God was ready to destroy the world, he had a preacher of righteousness by the name of Noah. We know he was a preacher of righteousness because Peter said that. And the Bible teaches us that eight souls were saved by water. Yet this preacher of righteousness preached to the whole world, and only eight souls took advantage of preparing themselves to get on that ark. But you remember when the children of Israel went into Egyptian bondage. We know that when God delivered the children of Israel, that he delivered them and gave them a law. And when he gave them a law, that law was designed to instruct them on how to live and be like him, to take on his characteristics. We know that according to that generation, that only two went into the promised land. Only two took advantage of the sanctification process. We understand that when Jesus steps on the scene, he says in Matthew 7 that few be there that find it. Only few are going to take advantage of the word of God to set themselves apart. So no wonder Jesus tells his disciples, or his father rather, in this prayer, sanctify them. Set them apart by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Something was said to me yesterday that has captivated my attention. I want to plug it in right here. It was told to me that the solution to pollution is dilution. The way to get rid of pollution is to wash it out. No wonder we use sanitary agents in order to cleanse ourselves, our hands. But here we're not just talking about the sanitation of the body. We're also talking about the sanitation of the soul. So let's study for a few weeks. Come back tonight if you can. This particular study has caused me to think differently and to see God at this point in my life for who He is. So let's study. Through sanctification or cleansing, we find ourselves thinking, behaving, and living holier as we mature, as we grow. Jesus in his prayer says to God, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The transmission, listen to this, of sanctification would continue when the apostles were sent into the world, verse 18. Of our scriptural reading this morning. Yet this could not happen without Jesus sanctifying himself. Jesus had to set himself apart for the sake of his apostles in order that they would be sanctified by the truth. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this: how does this help us today? How does this help the Church of Christ in 2018? Question. Five questions I want you to take note of. Number one, do we struggle with our old way of thinking? Number two, do we really desire pure thinking? I want to answer that for you. The very fact that you're here, I believe that you do. I really believe that you really want to think like your God. Number three, do we seek the cleansing God offers? Number four, do we understand what sanctification is? And number five, do we want sanctification to be accomplished in us? Let's define sanctification. I know y'all probably not used to me going this slow, but you have to get this. Sanctification defined, five things. Number one, these are literal definitions, and truly there are more, but I picked what I thought were the best ones. Number one, sanctification means to cause or to be recognized as holy or hallowed, set apart. Number two, to separate from the profane or wicked. Now that's a tricky one. And the reason why that's a tricky one, because of Isaiah 5 and verse number 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. This is why our definition of holy and our definition of being set apart must be God's definition. Okay? Number three, sanctification defined means to be dedicated or to devote a people or things to God. Number four, it's defined to be purified by atonement, free from the guilt of sin. Friends, did you hear that? To be free from the guilt of sin. And last but definitely not least, to purify internally by the renewing of the mind. Now those are definitions that you'll find in the Greek language and Hebrew, literally from the word. Number two, we notice sanctification defined, now sanctification's translations or renderings. The word sanctification can also be translated or rendered hollow, or the phrase be holy. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. Also rendered holiness or sanctification. And number three, it can be rendered saints or holy one. Let me say this. Sanctification comes forth from holiness, not the other way around. Did you get that, friends? Sanctification, being set apart, is an outgrowth of holiness. And the reason why is because God is holy. He is the definition of holy. He is the very character of holy. And no wonder in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse number 3, where we find the cherubims and the seraphims, and they are exclaiming to the one who is sitting on the throne, holy, holy, holy. Set apart one. Now, friends, that's important. Because one thing that the world cannot do and have not done is to find holy. You can't. The reason why is because God is the only one that can define it. Every single characteristic that God is derives from holy, meaning set apart. All right. So when we consider number three, we looked at sanctification defined. We looked at translations and renderings of sanctification. Number three, Jesus' work in sanctification. All right? When I consider this particular point, it's a win-win situation for the child of God. Sanctification is a win-win situation. Number one, under this, God sanctified Jesus, the Father, to come to the world. Jesus would say this in John 10 in verse number 36. He set me apart to come here. But how would he do this? He would do this by the giving of his body and his blood. And we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But why did God do that? I don't have time to really delve too deeply into this. But in Genesis 3 and verse number 6, the Bible teaches us that Eve partook of that fruit, gave it to her husband Adam. He did eat, and they brought sin into the world. Romans 5, verse 12. This is why God had to sanctify Jesus to come into the world. So now God puts his plan in motion. Genesis 3 and verse number 15. Here we have the great prophecy of Jesus Christ, or the seed of the woman that was going to be bruising the head of the serpent. We move further down the line in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Then we have the seed of Abraham. So here, Galatians 4, verse number 4, at the right time, the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, is going to crush the head of the serpent, thus bringing salvation into the world, thus showing us who God is, thus demonstrating sanctification. And no wonder, stay with me, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse number 30, turn your Bibles there real quick. And there you'll see that Paul demonstrates that Jesus was made sanctification for us. He was made holiness for us, which means that we are indebted to Christ because of what he did on the cross, what he gave on the cross, and what he offers us because of the cross. Friends, Jesus was made sanctification for us. And for this reason, Jude 1. Look at that real quick. For this reason, Jude 1. Notice what Jude says. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, whereunto he called us by thy gospel, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Friends, I want you to consider this point. Here, Jude, he sets the record straight that we're called by the gospel. We have been set apart by God himself. And then God puts his set apart people in a preserved place called Jesus, the church. Now, I said all of that to say this. God wants us to be encouraged in our minds, our emotions, and in our spirit. Yet he wants us to be clean in those as well. Now, it's interesting. When we stop and we consider these things, in John 17 and verse number 19, Jesus sets himself apart for the apostles' sake. In John 15:3, he says, you are all clean through the word. Through the word. He didn't say you were clean through miraculous gifts. He didn't say you're clean through your own opinion. He didn't say you were clean because of some great deed you have done. He said you're clean through the word. He's talking to his apostles. Jesus would sanctify his people, according to Hebrews 10 and verse number 10, by the covenant and by the offering of his body. Now, what does that mean? Brother Lance read this morning in the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26, verse 26 through 28. Matthew 26 and verse number 26, Jesus said, this is the blood of the New Testament, the new covenant. What will sanctify people? It's going to be the blood of the covenant. It's going to be the body of Christ. It's going to be the law that he left us. In Hebrews 10 and verse number 14, through this one offering, he perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hebrews 13 and verse number 12, he would sanctify us through his blood, the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. Jesus would sanctify us through his apostles' teaching. Look at John 17, 20 and 21. Stay with me. In John 17, verse 20 and 21, notice Jesus did not just benefit in his prayer the apostles, but he benefited those of us even today. He says, I do not pray for these alone, talking about his apostles, but also for those who will believe in me, what? Through their word. That's us. Through the apostles' doctrine. And this is why the apostles' doctrine is so important. This is why they're ambassadors of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. This is why we have to read the word of God, because that's how we're going to get cleaned up. Question. When a child of God doesn't read the word of God and apply it to his life, can he or she be cleansed? The answer is no. It is the word of God that cleanses us, that sets us apart. It is the word of God that teaches me how to be more like Christ. And this is why, friends, we have to be very careful what goes into our eyes, what docks the doors of our ears. And the reason why is because if we don't, it will lodge in our soul. And it will cause us not to be clean through and through. Doesn't matter what I take in. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and look at verse number 23. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, notice what the Apostle Paul says with interest. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Here, the Apostle Paul says very clearly, now may the God of peace himself sanctify, set you apart, separate you from the profane, purify you by atonement, renew your mind through his covenant and his body. How? Completely. The word completely literally means to be brought to an end. To the point of maturation, a process. Now, let's make a point here before we go any further. When we consider this great point right here, I want us to take note of 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Turn your Bibles there and I'll meet you there in a minute. And the reason why is because the Word of God has power to set us apart over a period of time. Hence, this is why we as the people of God must be patient with one another. Long-suffering. Why? Because individuals are still growing in grace, just as we should. Because individuals are, as newborn babes, are designed to sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. These are the same individuals that have come out of the world, and we'll talk about this tonight, that have been washed, sanctified, and justified. Now, I want us to take this into consideration, because when we consider sanctification, sanctification is a process. Justification is not a process. Justification takes place at the point of baptism. God declares you right. Sanctification is a process, as God had brought the children of Israel after he delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. He then justified them by the parting of the Red Sea. He closed it up on the Pharaoh and the Egyptians, thus justifying them, declaring them right, and now gives them a law to sanctify them, to get Egypt out of them. Dennis, does that sound right? And oh, God was so patient. Oh, God waited on them. This study has changed my life. Oh, I wish I'd have had this when I was raising kids. I'm serious. I'd have been a lot easier. But some lessons, you're just not mature enough for them yet. That's fine. Let me just throw this in. If you're not mature enough for a particular lesson, chill out until you are. Because you don't want collateral damage. You don't want damage along the way. It's a process that God is working some things out of us. That's why at the point of baptism, that's why baptism is necessary, because you got to come in contact with the blood of Christ based upon the covenant that God has given us. So now God says, now I declare you clean. You can come before me now. You got too many people that's trying to come before God dirty in their sin. It doesn't work that way. You got to be justified. Romans 5 verse 1. So now God says, now I can begin cleaning you up. In the days of Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 29, let's illustrate this. Don't have time to look at all of it. Verse 4 and 5, we see very clearly that the temple had been defiled. There were great debris in the temple. Hezekiah, a good king, loved the Lord. Yet there were some things that he didn't do all the way right. Yet he loved the Lord. Now he's getting rid of those defilements that are inside of the temple, if you will. You drop down to verse number 17 through 19, and now the process is beginning. In verse number 17, now they began to sanctify. That's a powerful concept. They began to sanctify. Friends, don't miss that. At the point of baptism, when a person obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, like our dear sister did on Friday, Sister Patty Lee, now God says, now, doesn't matter how old you are, but now I got to take all of those things that you have done all of your life, and now it's based upon you to sanctify yourself, and it's based upon me to give you the word. God has already given his word. Now you got to take his word and begin the sanctification process. So, no wonder when people come up out of the water, they still got some of those same ideas and thoughts and concepts in their mind. I thought you obeyed the gospel. Why are you still acting like that? Because it just came out of the water. Oh, the need of elders who don't spend time in the lives of people to help them get that junk out of them. Oh, the need of brethren that's going to say, come over to the house. You just obeyed the gospel. I want to help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So, verse 17. Y'all, this is studying right here. We study. This meaty right here. We chunking on some meat right now. You ain't going to get this at no local Baptist church. I'm sorry. You ain't going to get it. You ain't gonna get in the denominational world. I'm not trying to be mean. I ain't trying to mess up the sermon. I'm just telling you what it is. Sanctification is a process. So they begin on the first day, and notice, of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they notice the past tense language. So they sanctify the house of the Lord in 8 days. Brian, did you see that? Friends, did you see that? The sanctification process required the olive oil, the anointing of oil, the cleaning up of all of the utensils and the pots and all of the things that were necessary inside of the temple to make sure that it was clean, because you're bringing a sacrifice before God. So 8 days it took to get all of the debris and get everything cleaned up and get everything anointed with oil that it may be sanctified. 8 days. The point we want to make is a process. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 18. So they went into King Hezekiah and said, notice this language. We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings with all its articles, and the table of the showbread with all its articles. Did you get that, friends? This process, Pope Joy, took 8 days. But if you take this concept and you go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and go back there real quick, and verse number 23, it makes sense. If you ever wondered, as a child of God, I thought I dealt with that 15 years ago. Why is this thought coming back into my mind? Why can't I get over this? I'm working hard at it. I'm praying about it. I'm asking the Lord to help me. I'm applying His principles to His life. Why can't I get this junk out my head? What you putting in your head? This is why when our kids were young, we used to tell them, watch that music you're listening to because you're going to spend your life getting it out of you. Now, y'all can bark at that all you want to, but it's still true. When I was out in the world, I used to listen to Tupac Shakur. Don't listen to that fool. Solomon even tells us, don't listen to the songs of fools. Oh, it used to do something to my mind. Stupid stuff. Almost worse than drugs. Worse than alcohol. You think about that. And I used to hear things, they're putting that music in their head, it's corrupting their mind. They don't know what they're talking about. Yes, they did. Well, I can handle it. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't imbibe sin and think you can handle it. You can't. You can't. Sanctification demonstrates to us that I want to get the clean in, that God can cleanse me through the washing of the water by the word. And as I get those purities out, the solution to pollution is dilution. As I get that out of me, listen, young people, I then began to think holy. I then began to think pure. I then began to enter into the process of 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you to the end. To the end? Hold on. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 9, that you may receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. God, what are you teaching me? That I'm going to be in this process the rest of my life? Now you get it. Is that right, Brother Don Cheek? Every single day. There's no days off for the child of God. You may get a day off from your job, but you don't get a day off from Christianity, because Satan is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if he can just get you to trip up one time, he can get you to trip up twice. So he says, now may the God of peace sanctify you, set you apart, clean you up, purify your thoughts to the end. And may your whole, James 1 and verse 4, put that in your notes, your whole spirit, that's your mind, soul, that's your character, and body, that's your flesh, be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, what are you teaching us? I'm teaching you that it's a process. Don't get discouraged if you fall off the wagon every now and then. Oh, a righteous man falleth 7 times and gets up. Get up. We need you in the race, not out of the race. Don't let discouragements, don't let despondency, don't let those things that other people do cause you to lose focus on the Holy One. Why? Because you need to stay within the realm of salvation. And this is why we started off the lesson the way that we did. Friends, only 8 souls were saved by water. Let that sink in. Only 2 entered into the promised land. We understand that Moses, he was saved, but only 2 went in to the promised land. Let that sink in. Few be there that find it. Let that sink in. God, what are you doing with us? I want to clean you up. So as we close, I think about Peter. You remember in John 18 and verse 15, Jesus positions Peter to benefit in the process of sanctification. Oh, Peter was a stalwart man of God, taught by the Lord. Yet Peter denies Jesus three times in those particular verses. Peter goes away. He's weeping bitterly. Here Jesus is crucified. He's on the cross. He's raised up on that third day. Jesus comes. He finds Peter. And now Jesus begins that sanctification process with old Peter. In John chapter 21, 15 through 19, Peter, lovest thou me? Three times. Oh, that sanctification process, cleansing his mind, strengthening his soul, giving him the courage and the fortitude and the attitude that he needed to go forward. Peter, I don't need you sulking. I need you ready to preach the gospel. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 14, Peter standing up with the 11. Here it is. You know what sanctification does? Sanctification strengthens our minds. It gives us courage. We put our head up and our back straight, and we look the situation and circumstances in their eyes, and we know we have God with us, and we move forward with it. It's not arrogancy. It's confidence. And some men don't like confidence. They say you're being arrogant. No. I'm confident that God will prevail. There's no sin that I can conquer. There's no situation that I can't get over. I know with God, because of the sanctification of my heart, that I can go to heaven and I can be victorious down here and I can live the abundant life. Why? Because of the word of God that cleanses my soul. So we conclude. I see why so many people are weak. I see why bullying is such a powerful thing today, because we got weak-minded people. When a person can bully you over the internet and you just lose your mind, something's wrong with you. Oh, I've been bullied before, but it was person to person. They didn't send me a letter. I'm like, oh, no, it didn't work that way. And I'm not being insensitive. You know what this means, friends? We need to teach our children the word of God. That's where the strength is. Not picking up a bat, not picking up a gun, but teaching them the word of God. That they can be set apart by the word of God. That they can receive the strength knowing that even if I lose my life, God is with me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. So we conclude. I see why so many are so weak. They don't have this in them. Friends, put the word of God in your hearts. Friends, put the word of God in your children. Read to your children. Emphasize to them the necessity of setting God apart in their lives. I'm not trying to be ugly right now. But worship is a set apart time. Please do not bring things for your children to play with here. This is God's time. I'm serious. Teach your children to set things apart. So when they get older, and they're in this relationship with this little pretty girl, she's finer than all outdoors, they can say, I'm set apart for God and I'm going to keep myself till I get married. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Why? Because I'm set apart for God. It's a mindset. Let me conclude, because some of y'all ain't looking right. Number one, have you sanctified the Lord God in your heart this morning? Is he number one? Number two, does the Lord have your heart this morning in everything? Number three, are you finding it difficult to grow past certain milestones in life relating to cleanliness of the heart? Number four, the mind, and the soul. Number four, will we, talking about all of us, dedicate more of our soul to him today than yesterday? Number five, will we allow Jesus to sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word? Number six, are we allowing the sanctification process to take its course? Friends, next week we're going to talk about more, but tonight we're going to talk about the need of sanctification. God wants us to be set apart. We ought to be different because of what he has put in us. And it ought to translate into every relationship I have. Oh, friends, it's challenging. Because some of our upbringing wasn't all that good. And we got all of that we got to contend with. That's fine. Guess who can help you? God. Not Sally, Jesse, Raphael. Not Oprah Winfrey. Not them pills. Not that opium. Not them drugs. Not that alcohol. Leave the bottle alone. Not having sex with someone who's not your wife or your husband. That's not going to make you whole. God. He gets all of that out of us. And this is why someone who's been in the Lord 20 years can look back at someone who has just obeyed the gospel and say, hey, I've been there. I know how that is. No, I'm not going to judge you because I've been there. But sometimes after 20 years in the faith, you get those and why are you doing that? Shame on you. Well, in one sense, it is shame. But in another sense, we're like the Apostle Paul in Titus 3 and verse number 4. We ourselves at one time were foolish, deceived, serving various lust and pleasure. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved us. So we turn around and say, that's not good. But come on over here. Let me help you out. Let me help you sanctify yourself. So, Sister Patty Lee, we're going to help you. Some need more sanctification than others. That's just the way life is. And the closer we get to the cross, the better our life is. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer the invitation, and the lesson will be yours. A great God and Father, hallowed be your name. So wonderful. You give us your word. You give us understanding. You give us truth. Pray the Father will never take that truth for granted. Pray the Father that we'll always be a people who stand for the truth. That men and women, brothers and sisters, can be sanctified and learn what sanctification is. Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen our hearts that we may be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Help us, dear Father, to be humble before you and know that our strength comes from you. We're so thankful you love us. We're thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, that sanctified himself for the apostles, and the apostles gave us his word. We pray, dear Father, that we'll take your word and apply it to our lives and be a better people, to be strong, to be a people who are militant for your cause. The world around us is strong in the wrong direction. And sometimes we take on their attitudes and want to deal with things their way. But we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through you. We pray to Father that you'll pull down the strongholds in our hearts and that you'll build us up with your word. Help us to be strong, Father. Help us to teach our children and grandchildren your word. They may be strong and set apart And help us to never give up on one another. So all of us can hear, well done, a good and faithful servant. Help us to be faithful. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to always encourage one another. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to be saved. We want you to be in Christ. We want the sanctification process to begin and to be like us who are in Christ, who have been justified. And one day we will be glorified. But right now we're in the sanctification process. We don't have it all together. We're like the Apostle Paul, who is striving, pressing toward the mark. I have not yet arrived, even though some may act like it. Don't get on all of us because of a few. You obey the gospel. You obey that good news. You obey the glad tidings. And friends, make no mistake about it, it's good news. It's good news that we can have our sins washed away and that we can be preserved in a place called the Church of Christ. Church that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for. He's going to come back for her one day. Why? Because that's what he said. And we take him at his word. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. And friends, he is Lord. He's ruler. He's Savior. He's anointed one. He's Messiah. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And guess what God will do? He will save you. He will take away all of your sins through the blood of his Son. He will give you a clean conscience. He will remove all the guilt of sin. He will put you in a preserved place. And he'll give you a hope that no man can ever give you. And that's eternal life. And then one day he's going to give you the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. He's going to give it to you. You didn't earn it. He's going to give it to you. Why? Because of the obedience of faith. He was obedient to the faith. If you're a child of God, and well, you need prayer. We all do. And sometimes this sanctification process is tough. Sometimes we have some strongholds in our lives that are so deep that only us and God can get them out of us. But you get it out of you. Because one day, it's going to be all worth it. But you'll hear those words, well done. And you'll be in heaven with God. And you'll say, it has been worth it. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.